The week the world turned toward Palestine, Evangelical Press Association members David Paxton and J.D. Williams bring you the unfiltered, uncensored truth through the lens of Bible prophecy, and it starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. Actually, David is not even in New York City today. I don't know where he is. He's hiding out in the mountains somewhere. But anyway, welcome to the show, David. We finally worked through some technical issues and got you on.
Yeah, that was fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. Technical number one being no cell service and you're in the mountains. But that's also a good thing. So
yeah,
we're having a good old time.
Yeah, sounds like. All right, well, David, go ahead and pray us into the show, because we had a lot to talk about today, because we are going to be talking about this turning point that's happening right now in the world that is fulfilling a lot of Bible prophecy over in Gaza. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your insights. We thank you further that your word will go forth and plant seeds in the hearts of men, and it will produce fruit of salvation. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. All right, I'm going to show everybody here what we intend to talk about today. And, of course, now Europe and the UK are moving to recognize Palestine. The Gaza crisis and the United Nations are in battles there. China seeks a breakthrough in tense relations with the United States, and then we'll also be talking about global flashpoints and some rising dangers as well. So we're just going to kick it off right away, David, and we'll get right into this stuff. Europe and the United Kingdom are moving to recognize Palestine. This past week will be remembered as a turning point in world diplomacy. For decades, the idea of recognizing a Palestinian state was treated as a bargaining chip, something to be withheld until Israel's security was guaranteed and peace agreements were in place. Now that model has been thrown aside. The United Kingdom, a nation long tied to Israel since the days of the Balfour Declaration, announced it is preparing to recognize a Palestinian state. France quickly followed suit, and other European capitals are now aligning themselves with the same declaration. Now, this represents not just a shift in policy, but a rewriting of rules that govern peace negotiations for generations. Instead of insisting on dialogue between the Israelis and Palestinians, European powers are attempting to impose a solution from the outside. Now, for Israel, this is a betrayal. For Bible believers, it's an unmistakable sign. God's word warns that the nations will conspire to divide his land, to parcel out what he gave as an everlasting inheritance to Abraham and his descendants. Now, in Joel chapter 3, the Lord declares judgment against those who divide my land. What we see now in Europe is not merely politics, but prophecy in motion. The recognition of Palestine by nations once considered allies of Israel signals the crumbling of Western unity around God's chosen people. It is the fulfillment of Zechariah's warning that Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone to the nations and that all who try to lift it will be cut to pieces. Now, Europe believes it is bringing peace. In reality, it is setting itself on a collision course with the God of Israel. Let's look here at this next one here to finish it off. The language of these recognitions is worth noting. Leaders frame it as justice, as progress toward peace, yet peace cannot come by ignoring terror, nor can justice come by rewarding violence. The modern state of Israel was reestablished by divine appointment, not by international convenience. To recognize a Palestinian state within the land given to Israel by God himself and without requiring the renunciation of terror or acknowledgement of Israel's right to exist is not diplomacy, it is rebellion against God's covenant. This is why the developments in Europe are not just headlines, but prophetic milestones. The world is declaring, we will decide the fate of Israel, but heaven has already spoken. The land belongs to the Lord, and he has given it to Israel forever. So what do you have to say about all that, David?
Yeah, if you're going to talk about Israel not having the land again because they were bad, what you're missing is the fact that it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with what God promised.
Right.
And God doesn't go back on his promises. So if you're going to say that, honestly, you're calling God a liar.
Exactly.
And that's a scary place to be, because how many times do we read on the air, you know, many will come unto me and saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done mighty works in your name? Haven't mm-hmm. we cast out demons and fed the poor and, you know, did jumping jacks for the Lord? And he's like, but I never knew you. And this kind of speaks to me like, well, you don't know who I am. I'm the one that made that promise. Now you're telling me that I'm not going to keep my unconditional promise to Israel. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're pretending to know the Lord. Maybe you think you know the Lord, but you really don't know him. Mm-hmm. That's a really scary thought. For me personally, you know, what if God did go turn his back on Israel? What does that mean for me? Because obviously, since being saved, I've sinned once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, and probably not in a good way. You know, 45 years, you're going to do some things wrong once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that does that mean God's going to turn his back on me? Mm. No, he's not going to turn his back. And if we remember, the covenant was cut with Abraham, and he put Abraham to sleep. So it had nothing to do with him. And he's like, it's my covenant, and I will keep it regardless of what you do. And there's all sorts of idioms, too. He talks about Israel's a whore, you know, and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yet I will take her back. I forget which prophet it was, but he was forced to marry a whore on purpose because that was Lo Ami. He called his son, I don't love you anymore and I don't this. However, he still took her back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a scary place to be. I wouldn't be against Israel at all. Not because they're any good. Now, let's not misconstrue that and say, we just love Israel. It's doing all sorts of great things. Not necessarily. There's a lot of things. Like, it's the homosexual capital of the world is in Tel Aviv.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's worse in New York City, apparently. I haven't been there, but that's what I hear.
Worse than Frisco? It's worse than San Francisco?
That's what I hear, yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
Because it's interesting. So there's a lot of things that Israel's doing wrong, but that's not the point. The point is it was God that made the promise. Mm-hmm. So we have to pray that they repent of all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've used that same argument, David, with people that have raised that with me. And, you know, my response is always the same. So what else did God lie about? What else did he lie about? You know? And if he lied about that, that he's given the land to Israel forever. And it's written just like that, forever, okay? And forever is a long time, okay? It's not it's not 2,000 or 3,000 years. It's a long time, like never ending. And he said he was giving it to them forever. So what else did he lie about? And if he lied about that, then I guess he lied about the fact that I'm saved. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior. Through the blood of Jesus, I am saved. I have accepted that gift of salvation from Christ, and I've got to rely on him. I have to rely on his word that is true, and I do rely on that word that it is true, and I feel and know that I am guaranteed to go to heaven, no questions asked. Jesus said so, mm-hmm. okay? And those of you that reject him, well, you're going to hell already. End of discussion, right, David?
Yeah, I mean, everybody quotes John 3:16, for God mm-hmm. so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But they forget about John 18. It says, if you didn't receive him, you're already condemned.
Right.
So we start out condemned already. So it's not like, oh, if I don't do that, then he's going to condemn me. No, right. No. You're condemned already, and mm-hmm. it's his grace and his love for you that says I can uncondemn you.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of, and I really hate to get into it at this point, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. There's a lot of people that have been talking lately in one of the groups that I got about children who are not at the age of knowledge yet, that die, and, you know, of course, there are many like myself to say, well, okay, they're with the Lord. But others to say, well, you know, I don't believe that. You know, that would be a good way. You remember that lady that killed her kids? She wanted them to go to heaven and she killed her kids.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of them are adopting that kind of thought. And I think that's stupid. Okay, but you're the Bible teacher. Explain that one just real quick before we go on to the next topic.
Well, there's verses that clearly say that, like King David, when you know, the first baby of Bathsheba died, he's like, "Well, I won't see him again here, but I'll go to him where he is."
Right.
And so that just leads people to say, "Okay, babies are automatically saved," which that's a lovely idea, and I'd like to think that. Mm-hmm. However, Bible isn't really clear on that. So, because what if that person would have grown up to be a Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Then, so, logically then, it's probably better to kill them when they're young and they haven't done anything yet. This way they're guaranteed. It's like, and that's the mentality that can come across with
mm-hmm.
this.
Right.
So, now you have this dichotomy here. Now you have people like us who are saying, no, you can't go around killing babies with abortions.
Right.
Technically, if they're all saved automatically at that, you should be glorifying that, because eventually we all want to go home. So it's
yeah.
really a weird thought. Right?
That's the point that some of them are bringing up, that exact point.
Yeah. And so we all love the idea of the innocent baby being this. But here's the bottom line. We are not God. We are not in eternity. He made us, each one of us, and each one of those babies
mm-hmm.
before the foundation of the world. And he knows, had they lived a full life, would they have served him?
Mm-hmm.
He just knows that.
Yeah.
Okay, because
yeah.
you can see it, because he lives in eternity. So I just leave that to him and say, you know, it's his wisdom and his decision. Even with a full-grown adult, it's still his call, not ours.
Right.
So I just leave it at that, because that's a question that isn't really answered to anyone's full extent. Anyone that does give you an answer, it 100% it's leaning on their feelings and thoughts,
yeah,
and opinions,
okay.
and not the word of God.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I just leave it to God. It's up to him. I'm out on this one.
Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense. I do want to remind everybody that the Last Christian Radio Show is broadcasting truth to the world in a desperate need of it. But here's the truth that you may not know. This broadcast exists because of you. We're 100% listener supported. We don't take government grants. We don't bow to advertisers. We rely on people like you, those who believe in what we're doing, those who want to see the truth preserved and boldly proclaimed. Now, there's two powerful ways that you can stand with us right now. First, you can give to us directly, a one-time gift, a monthly commitment, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. It makes a difference. Just visit lastchristian.net and pick Partner with Us or hit the Donate button on the site. Every gift is fully tax deductible. Second, you can support us simply by shopping. When you purchase from our trusted affiliates, a portion goes straight to support this ministry without costing you a penny more. So grab your morning boost with Everyday Dose Coffee, stock up on quality gear at the Conservative Store, fuel your body with Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, or dive deep into Scripture with resources from Christian Book. And now you may even learn Biblical Hebrew and more through Israel Institute of Biblical Studies with discounts of up to 45% exclusively through the link on our site. Now, these brands we believe in, and they believe in us. So why not shop with a purpose? Go to lastchristian.net. Click Partner with Us or that Donate button, and you'll find links to give directly or shop through our affiliates. Together, let's keep proclaiming the gospel, preparing the church, and standing for truth. All right, David, moving right on along here to the second topic of the day. Let's look at this one. This is the Gaza crisis and the United Nations battles. While diplomats were speaking in London and Paris, the situation on the ground in Gaza grew ever more desperate. Entire neighborhoods have been reduced to rubble. Hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced. Families, according to the propaganda media, are living in tents, relying on scarce supplies of food and water, and medical facilities are overwhelmed. Of course, this is a false narrative, and the the only starvation is felt by the hostages who remain the prisoners of Hamas, the terror organization that seized them originally. And through it all, the rockets continue to fly haphazardly toward the civilian population in Israel, and the battles rage on. The United Nations once again became a theater of a confrontation. A resolution was introduced calling for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire. It demanded Israel stop its operations at once, open Gaza to unlimited aid, and release hostages in return. The resolution won overwhelming global support, but the United States stood firm, casting a veto and blocking that resolution. Now, critics accuse America of isolating itself, but the biblical perspective, America stood where it must, alongside Israel's right of self-defense. The people of Israel have endured relentless attacks, kidnappings, and terror for decades. No nation on earth would tolerate such aggression toward its citizens, and yet the world demands Israel do so. This is more than hypocrisy. It is spiritual blindness. In every age, God's enemies have sought to weaken Israel. Pharaoh tried to enslave them. Haman tried to annihilate them. Empires tried to scatter them. Now the nations of the world try to strip them of their right to defend themselves. But in every case, God intervenes and his people endure. And got one last one here. The veto at the UN is not the end of the story. Pressure will mount. Nations will increase their threats. Protests will multiply. But Scripture makes clear that the nations will gather against Jerusalem, not because Israel is weak, but because the Lord has appointed it so that he might reveal his power. Zechariah 14 tells us the nations will come against Jerusalem, and then the Lord himself will fight for his people. As believers, we must watch with clear eyes. The propaganda media will continue to claim the suffering in Gaza is real. And of course, the displacement of those affected is tragic. But the root cause cannot be blamed on Israel as it fights to defend itself. Instead, the entire blame must be placed on the unrelenting hatred of groups like Hamas committed to Israel's destruction. No ceasefire can erase that. Only the return of the Prince of Peace will bring true peace to the region. And I know you got a lot to say about that one, David. Go ahead. And you're muted. I'm sorry.
And we're back.
There he is. Go ahead.
I prefer to pronounce it as Hamas.
Okay.
But let's go.
Probably a good pronunciation.
Here's the deal. We'll back up just a little bit.
Okay.
We talked about Pharaoh and Haman. Remember, Haman was with Esther. Mm-hmm. Esther! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he devised his whole big wicked plan. He was going to destroy all of Israel, and he wound up, you know, dying on the gallows himself,
right,
along with his buddies. Mm-hmm. And then we all know what happened to Pharaoh. He's still at the bottom of the Red Sea, you know, trying mm-hmm. to figure out what's going on. And apparently, what's his name, found all the chariots. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Ron Wyatt.
That's not the real... The issue here is everybody will come against Israel. Mm-hmm. All right? And we see that. But in Psalm 2, I mean, it's crystal clear. Actually, let's read it. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It's like these God's up in heaven going, are these people serious? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Mm-hmm. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And so that's exactly what they're doing right now. They're all sitting here saying, oh, yeah, Israel, they always get attacked by Hamas, who's always lying about stuff, and Iran and all the Islamic nations. And that's all they cry all day long is what they cry. Complete annihilation of every Jew.
Mm-hmm. Right? From the river to the sea.
Why does no one like acknowledge that? Here they are doing it, but you know, and then when they slap them back, and that, believe me, Israel is only slapping them right now. They wanted to destroy them. The whole entire nations would be toast. Mm-hmm. They would just blow them up completely. But Israel's not like that, you know, to just completely annihilate them, because they're not really, you know, of that ilk, let's
say. Yeah.
Whereas Islam is. But they keep, for some odd reason, that's what I'm saying, these people are in vain. Why? They're ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous, not making any sense. So this is what we expect to see. But here's the best part. Check it out. And he shall, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's God. And he will have them in derision. So he's going to cause all these nations to start fighting against themselves, which we're starting to see now anyway.
Yeah.
And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And yet I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Wow. So it's coming soon.
Yeah.
You see, this is a closed time frame. This is all one scenario. So when these things are happening, the entire world coming together against Israel, and we couldn't have even done this before 1948, that time is the imminent return of Christ to rule on the earth. I have set my king upon the holy hill of Israel, or excuse me, of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, and this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then he goes on to describe that. So Jesus is coming soon. He's going to defeat all these people with one word, that's the sword, the double-edged sword that comes out of his mouth, and destroy them when we read the end of Revelation. And he's going to rule and reign. So on one hand, we're like, these people are ridiculous. But then on the other hand, we're like, oh, we expect that because that's what's going to bring the return of Christ. So I'm kind of excited about it. You know, let them rage, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to start with this question. Jesus, on the cross, the very last thing he said was, it is done, right? Or it is finished.
It's telestai.
Okay, that is exactly where I was going with this, David. You said that when Christ comes back, he defeats them with, you know, the double-edged sword out of his mouth with one word. Okay, so now that one word, didn't you just say it? Telestai.
Well, that the telestai is actually a contract term.
Okay.
And it literally means this contract's paid in full. It is no longer enforceable.
Okay.
That's what it is. It's like if I gave you a bill and then you gave me the money, I would stamp on it paid in full.
Okay.
And they would use that mainly because you'd have to walk around with your papers back then. Mm. And then if you had, like, let's say you committed a crime, you had to pay 2 years. Okay, so someone recognizes you. Hey, there's Joel. Mm-hmm. He has to pay for 2 years, but no, I have my contract. Look, it's paid in full.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's where we are with our sin debt. Hey, listen, you have a sin debt, and you have to pay that. You have to go into hell and separate yourself from God for all eternity. That's the wages of sin is death. Oh no, I have this, and it says paid in full.
Yeah.
Jesus paid all this with his blood.
Okay.
So right now, like if we have, let's say we have a prenup and we're setting to get married because they had prenups back then.
Mm-hmm.
So we would sign the contract, and that contract gives me the right. So if I sign a contract to buy the house or to get married or any of these things, I have the right to do this. But did I do it yet? No, we're going to close on the 30th of the month.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I have a contract which says I own it, but the culmination is at, you know, this day over here.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. We have the full rights and responsibilities. We have the full authority. We have the full contract of all this inheritance of Jesus Christ ruling over the entire earth to the ends of the earth, and we rule and reign with him. Okay. And then that day will come shortly where it's consummated. And then the wedding happens, we're married together, and then we move into this contract agreement that we have. So we do have that agreement now, but it isn't consummated yet until that day when he returns.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. Makes sense to me. I just, you know, I heard that Telestai, and I was like, I wonder if that, you know, it is finished. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, and this is a pure guess, 100%. But, you know, I can say Jesus coming down and just saying, done, and it's over. I mean, you know, that's, yep. Who knows?
Well, what and, yeah, at the end of the tribulation. Now, it has to play itself out because he's a righteous judge. You know,
right.
This isn't the Minority Report where we're going to, you know, for things that you might have done. He's got to let the whole scenario play out in order to judge righteously.
Yeah.
Or else he's not a righteous judge. And that's what people say, why don't God just get rid of evil? Well, yeah, he did. But it's got to play out correctly.
Yeah, that is exactly what I hear a lot or read a lot, you know, on social media and all that kind of stuff. You know, if God was real, he wouldn't let this happen. And, you know, every time I hear some crap like that, what I have learned from you, and, you know, in our meetings here is, you know, it is all contract. I had never looked at the Bible as being a contract until I met you. You know that. And
I didn't either.
once you look at it in that regard, you can't unsee that, you know, or unhear it. I mean, if you've got any sense at all and you know, think about it, you know, go with it in an open mind, I guess is a way to say it. If you do that, it all falls together. It all makes sense at that point. So it explains a lot of the why didn't he stuff, you know. That's what I take from it.
Yeah, 100%. He's got to adjudicate righteously, and that can't happen unless he can't just guess that you're going to do something and then judge you for it. You have to actually do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you got time in a minute to answer this one or not, but you said Pharaoh was at the bottom of the Red Sea. I see a lot of people that say that they got whatever his name was. I can't remember now.
He found the Ark. He found the Dead Sea.
No, I'm talking about the Pharaoh himself. You know, they say that they found his sarcophagus and all this stuff, and he really wasn't there. But the Bible's pretty clear, isn't it, that Pharaoh and all of his guys were buried under the sea?
Yeah, I got to go back and read it. I was thinking, did he himself go, or did he just send his people forward?
Yeah.
And then he looked on as his entire army drowned in the ocean.
Yeah.
I gotta look that up.
I'm trying to think. Rama something. I can't remember what his name was.
They screwed up the history to try and, you know, blot out Israel. But if you look.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back here with the second half of the show here in just a few seconds. And, you know, hang in there with us. We got a couple of commercials to play for you. And then we'll be back with the second half of The Last Christian.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that is Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen. Join us from somewhere in New York.
Over the rainbow.
Yeah. All right, well, let's just pick this right back up again here. The United States and China are seeking breakthrough to tense relations. Now, even as the Middle East dominates headlines, another drama is unfolding that carries prophetic weight, and that's the contest between the United States and China. This week, the leaders of the two great powers spoke directly, seeking progress on their many disputes. At the center of their discussion was not missiles or tariffs, but something far more subtle, the control of communication. A major social media platform, which is called TikTok, has become the focal point of negotiations. Now, on the surface, this looks like a business deal. In truth, it's a battle for the hearts and minds of billions. The one who controls the algorithms of global communication holds the power to shape thought, silence dissent, and direct the flow of communication. Now, from Scripture, we know that in the last days there will arise a system that unites the world under one language, one message, and one authority. If you're following our Bible study each week, you know that Genesis 11 shows us that this at Babel, where mankind sought to make a name for itself, unified by one tongue. Revelation 13 shows us its end-time mirror, where the Antichrist commands worship through signs and through control of commerce and communication. When we see world leaders wrangling over control of digital platforms, we're not watching ordinary politics. We're watching the construction of the modern Tower of Babel. Not a tower of bricks, but a tower of data, algorithms, and artificial intelligence. Nations will fight over who owns it, but ultimately, prophecy declares that this system will fall into the hands of the beast. Now, for believers, this is a call to vigilance. The technology we use so casually is being weaponized to monitor, to influence, and to control. What once was simply entertainment has become the battlefield of ideas and loyalties. As America and China wrestle over this control, we must remember that the true contest is not between East and West, but against the principalities and powers of the earth, between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God, as we see in Scripture. Now, there I reference Ephesians 6:12, Colossians 2:15, Romans 8:38-39, Daniel 10:13, and 1 Corinthians 15:24. But, David, I know that you've got a lot of knowledge on those scriptures that I just read. But before we get there, I want to mention something that came up after I got this information, and that was that the deal that they intend to sign this week between the United States and China, I should say next week, it will allow China to keep the algorithms. And I see that as a problem. I don't know what you think about it, but I'll let you address that, and then we'll get into the scriptural part of this. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% a problem. There are those who believe all of this conservative right movement is a ruse to begin with. Mm-hmm. They're just pretending to be on the conservative right. I can't tell you how many different people, including some interesting people like Candace Owens, who think even the Kirk assassination was a setup and a ruse in order to stir up the right because of his gnar leanings. So, yeah, I mean, all the world's a stage, right? Who said that? I heard that before. It is. And in the end, it's literally one thing. Only what's done for Christ will last. And it's according to what he told you to do. Because as ambassadors, we have our role, which God tells us to do. So if we're doing what we want, even though it's good. Well, I want to go and feed the hungry, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe God called you to do something else and to be a teacher over there or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
But you decided you're going to do that. And while it may be good, you didn't do what he called you to do.
Right.
And that's the real thing. If we're slaves of Christ, he owns us. Okay.
100%.
If he bought you back, he paid a price for you. You were on the slave trade market and Satan was using you as a slave and he purchased you back. Mm-hmm. And now you can live eternally with him, but you got to do what he tells you to do. And I think that's where a lot of this is misconstrued, that
mm-hmm.
here we live in the freest nation that ever was on the face of the planet, but that could be a problem. Because people mm-hmm. don't understand. They think they could just do what they want.
Yeah.
And you really can't. You're either a slave to Satan or a slave to Christ, which means you have to do what he wants. Did that answer the question? I don't even
know. Yeah, you did. You did. And but now I really want you to do at this point, because yes, you did answer that one completely. And I'm going to put this back up here for just a second to just kind of give you a reminder here, because you've mentioned this many times on the show, but I don't think we've ever put scripture behind it. And that is that this battle is between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. And there, I'll list some scriptures there for you, David. Ephesians 6:12, Colossians 2:15, Romans 8:38 through 39, Daniel 10:13, and 1 Corinthians 15:24. But speak a little bit about this this battle between the principality and powers in a way that, you know, people out there that have never heard this kind of stuff before can understand.
Well, we could start there. That's a good point. Let's hammer this home.
Okay.
For all y'all who don't necessarily believe there's a spirit world or the devil mm-hmm. at all.
Right.
And, you know, they're like, oh, they go, evil is just, you know, man's construct. And, or they'll say evil is, it's just a state of mind. It's something we invented. Well, no, evil is a state of being, but evil personified, if we were to do that, would be in we learned is originally called Lucifer, or the mm-hmm. light bearer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one who was the shining one that would be the hoopah. He was the covering angel. So he was really the epitome of God's creation. But he was so beautiful and so wonderful that he thought, oh, why are people worshiping me instead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boom. That instant, if there is an instant in eternity, is when Satan fell. Now he's called Satan, which means the adversary, the enemy. Okay. So it's not like a name per se, but it's his description. And all names were descriptions of who they were.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it changed from Lucifer to Satan.
Okay.
Or the devil. Devil is not really, you know, in English we have devil, but devil comes from demonion, and it doesn't fully describe it. A devil would actually be one of the fallen angels.
Okay.
No, one of the Nephilim, the spirits of the Nephilim.
Okay.
That would be a devil or a demon. But we kind of say, oh, the devil. And then we mean that, oh, the main one, the father mm-hmm. of them all, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ha Satan, the Satan, the enemy. Because, hey, honestly, he doesn't deserve a name.
Right.
But
yeah.
mm-hmm. for, but for all intent and purposes, we'll just call him Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you said something there. Excuse me for butting in on you, but you said something, devil and demon. Did the word devil come from demon in some kind of way, or vice versa, or something? Or do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, just because of the languages and going back and forth, you got the Latin and the Greek and all this stuff. It just devil kind of means that, or they're devils. But then, you know, when it morphed into English, it's the devil.
Okay.
Like the Satan, the mm-hmm. enemy. Mm-hmm. I can say an enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's an enemy. That one's an enemy. But the enemy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the evil one. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The devil. The mm-hmm. evil one. Then we know, okay, that's the pinochle.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that word, pinochle.
Okay.
I say pinochle.
Okay. All right. Well, did you have anything else that you wanted to add on that? Because I did kind of butt in on you.
Principalities and powers. There's a hierarchy of them. Actually, if you guys want to check out the show coming up, you know, it's this Sunday night. Mm-hmm. It's coming out on KRRB Revelation Radio, and it's Shadows of a Greater Reality. We just had Mondo Gonzalez on, and we talked extensively about the hierarchy of the angelic world. And it's a really interesting show. It goes on for a couple hours, but the radio is like an hour, but then, you know, we extend it from there. And the principalities and power, essentially it's spirit beings with different roles, different ranks. And that's what the principalities and powers are. And those are the ones that are controlling this world and the contracts within. Read Psalm 82. If you want any more, there's a council, but the Lord's portion is Israel. That's his inheritance. And then he will take over all the other principalities and powers to the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah. You have to look at it from a legal, contractual, council point of view. You can't just say, oh, here we are, and, you know, one day we're going to go to heaven and sit on clouds and play harps and smoke cigars. It's not going to happen.
Right. Okay, well, let's look at this one now, David. We got the global flashpoints and rising dangers here. Beyond Europe and the Middle East and the Pacific, the tremors of instability are spreading across the globe. Now, in Eastern Europe, we've got Russian drones have crossed into the skies of NATO countries, triggering emergency responses, fighter jets scrambled, patrols intensified, and the fragile peace that has held for decades now feels ready to shatter at any moment. NATO's eastern flank is once again a flashpoint that could ignite global war. In South Asia, Pakistan made a startling declaration, offering nuclear guarantees to Saudi Arabia. Now, this move could alter the entire balance of power in the Islamic world, putting nuclear protection in the hands of a kingdom already at the heart of Middle Eastern policies, making a nuclear-backed Arab bloc a real possibility. Now, meanwhile, natural disasters remind us that creation itself groans under the weight of sin. In Afghanistan, powerful earthquakes devastated communities, leaving women and children most vulnerable, homes collapsed, aid convoys stalled, and entire villages now struggle to survive. The suffering was and is immense, but it also serves as a sobering reminder that the world cannot save itself. In Europe, political quarrels even halted humanitarian assistance to Palestinians, showing how deeply divided the world has become. Now, when even charity is frozen by politics, it's a sign that human compassion has grown cold. This is just as Jesus warned it would be in the last days. Taken together, these flashpoints form a sobering picture. The world is unraveling. Alliances are shifting. Nations are arming. Technology is consolidating power. And Israel stands in the center of the storm, the nation chosen by God as the clock and compass of prophecy. But as believers, we must not despair. These events are not random. They are birth pangs of the kingdom to come. They remind us that our hope is not in governments or treaties, but in the soon return of Jesus Christ. The week the world turned toward Palestine is not just a news headline. It's another page in the unfolding plan of God, drawing us closer to the day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. All right, David.
Wow.
What do you think about all that?
Well, I like the shaking part. Mm-hmm. So take a guess on how many earthquakes of 5.0 and above were around the world this year.
So this far. Year, 5 and above, 200. That's just a guess.
Well, it's 1,559.
Wow. Yeah, I knew it was a bunch, but I didn't know it was that much. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's on average, that's 6 earthquakes per day at 5.0 and above. Mm. That doesn't include the threes and the fours. So that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Let me see. Here's how is it?
While you're looking that up, I'm gonna jump in here just for a sec. Keep looking. But the Pharaoh's name was Ramesses.
Oh, that's it, Ramesses.
It just popped in my mind. I said, I got to get this into the show somewhere to let people know that I wasn't crazy.
Oh, I found it. Here it is. It is. So from, let's see, 2020, there was 1,300. And so, wow. Yeah. So recently it's been a lot, but now we're increasing again. And let me see. How about,
you can look this one up too while you're doing the other research there. How many of them are over toward the Middle East, in and around Israel, Iraq, Iran? Do you have any counts on that? Because I'm thinking there's probably going to be a bunch.
They're all around the Ring of Fire.
Okay.
For most of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big one, 7.5, just last week.
Yes. Yeah, that was where? That was
Alaska, Russia border over there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow. So it just fits in with this whole narrative.
You know, it does.
Shake the whole earth. It's an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we see people say, oh, it's just the natural course of things. And that's where the prophecy comes in, where people say, oh, it's just the earth and that's what it does. And it's just falling apart. But then what we don't see, conflate the two is, well, yeah, because God knew that ahead of time, and he put all these things together. So it's at the same time, all creation groans, like you said, it's because there's a conflation. Is that it? Confluence?
Yeah.
Confluence. It's con something because they're together. So yeah.
Convergence would be a good one too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The spiritual world parallels the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what we're seeing now is the spiritual world is falling apart because of, you know, the second law of thermodynamics. We call it sin, but they call it entropy. It just literally means everything's falling apart and all things work towards the destruction of themselves. If you leave a peach on the table, it's going to eventually disintegrate.
It's going to rot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just the sin nature. Mm-hmm. Now imagine when we get to heaven, that we're not going to see that anymore.
No, none of it. Yeah, none of it.
You leave the peach on the table for 2 years. Oh, look, here's a peach I picked a couple of years ago. Oh, it's delicious. And there's not going to be this decay and suffering. And right. Because we're not going to have the evil that's in the world, he's done away with all that. Mm-hmm. And then in a new heaven and a new earth, after the 1,000-year reign, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be beautiful, without a doubt. Yeah. Now, I want to get your thoughts, though, on these Russian drones. I think, if I wasn't mistaken, you were on vacation or something. I don't know what you were doing. But anyway, when these Russian drones crossed over from Russia supposedly they were on the way to the Ukraine. But come on now, Russia's technology isn't exactly shabby. I mean, you know, I think their technology is pretty good, right? So
yeah, I mean, they could fly something from space and have a laser come down and destroy everything.
Right. So why is it hitting stuff in Poland? You know, and not just one falling out of the sky or something. There was drone after drone. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of drones. And again, I think it was our friend Amir that said World War III is close. You know, I mean, he wasn't predicting it or anything. You know, he was just kind of saying, you know, this is serious stuff here. Then you had NATO jets, including American aircraft and others that, you know, got up in the air and were trying to take care of things. One of the disaster planes here in the United States that only goes up if there's a nuclear threat, it was flying around. You know, what do you think of that? Do you think Russia is trying to create World War III, or are they testing NATO? Or are they showing us that NATO has no strength? What are they saying exactly, David? Because this is calculated.
Well, You have to ask yourself, number one, is Russia actually doing it? Which can either answer would be okay. If they are doing it, because it's Russia and they want to poke people, because that's what they do. Number two is maybe it's the people who love war, because out of chaos, you know, the phoenix comes up, and that's what they want. And they need total chaos and division around the world so they can come in and say, hey, I'll unite everybody. Because if everyone's all united and lovey-dovey, then where are they going to get their power? They're like, I don't need you. Everything's fine. But within the chaos and mayhem, that's where they come in and say, I'll be the savior. So somebody is looking to create the chaos in order to become the savior.
One side or the other is what you're saying.
Yeah. And it could be, it could be Russia, Gog and Magog. It could be the other powers are like, oh, here's, you know, let's blame Russia for this. We won't know. And ultimately, as Christians, it doesn't matter, because we go back to the same thing. Only what's done for Christ will last. So while we recognize these things and we're pointing them out on the show, it's because we do see these things and we can make some conjecture as to what they, where they came from and what they are. But our main focus is this was written in the Bible thousands of years ago. Okay. And it's correct and perfect today, which means the rest of the Bible is true, which means Jesus paid for your sins, which means you need to repent because he's going to come back and rule. And then you'll have salvation. You'll come and rule and reign with us and the Lord. Amen. That's the ultimate reason for us speaking of all these things.
Okay, the other thing here was Pakistan, which has now offered nuclear guarantees to Saudi Arabia. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Saudi Arabia is not one of the countries that that's involved in the Gog and Magog war.
I think that's Dan. And they're going to be like
screaming about it.
They'll
be screaming about it, but not doing anything. And I'm wondering if that's because they are a nuclear weapon, a nuclear power. If Pakistan was to give Saudi Arabia, and it doesn't say that they're giving it to them, it says that they provide them with guarantees. I guess, you know, we'll use our nuclear weapons against a country that wants to come against you. I'm not sure if Pakistan just said that, you know, they made a declaration, David, that they're offering nuclear guarantees to Saudi Arabia. It doesn't go into any more detail than that.
And I wonder what that means. Hey, here's a nuclear bomb. I'll give you some plutonium. You can make it yourself. What does that guarantee entail?
Right.
But if you really want to stand corrected, I'm going to stand here. It's not nuclear. It's nuclear.
Okay. Yeah, you've done that to me before, and I still get it wrong every time.
But, I did that to my father for like 30 years, and he never changed. I mean, it's nuclear. Read it.
Well, you know, but I'm just wondering if that's the reason why Saudi Arabia doesn't join the coalition of the Gog and Magog war, because they're protected.
Well, the main thing with Saudi Arabia is they believe themselves to be the descendants of Ishmael, and therefore this is their brother, and they all consider themselves cousins of Israel. So while they have that false religion and all this other stuff, they're in that dichotomy of like, can I do that to my cousin?
Okay.
And that's why they're like, What are you doing? Are you here to take a spoil? What is this? Because that, you know, this one branch of Islam hates the other branch. You know how it goes.
Yeah, which is really crazy to me. You know, it really is.
I guess Christians do the same thing too.
Okay. Well, now again, we got the technology thing. Everybody is after the latest and greatest of technology. In an upcoming show, we're going to be talking about the fact that now they're coming up with artificial sperm. We've already talked about an artificial, artificial womb to carry a child. Now we're going to come up with an artificial sperm. How far do you think God's going to let this go? I mean, this is getting insane, David. They're doing everything that they can to create something that is not human. So how far do you think God's going to let this go? And I'm not asking you to give me dates or anything, but just kind of a general overview.
Yeah, well, Thursday. Thursday sounds funny. Oh, that stands for Thor, by the way. Anyway, okay. That's the god of Thor. There was Monday was moon, Sunday was the sun. Woden was Wednesday. That's why it's spelled funny, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It was Woden's day. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was just day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and Shabbat. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Which is why you see Jesus talking about all that. Mm-hmm. But what was the original question? Why?
How far do you think he's going to let this artificial and stuff go?
He's done that. Well, look what he did with before the flood, that before mm-hmm. the last great destruction of the earth. Mm-hmm. He was given Enoch, and then Enoch had a son after that, and he named him Methuselah, which means his death will bring. In other words, right. Hey, here's my baby boy, and when he dies, that's when the judgment will come. Mm-hmm. Well, that was 969 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was God was merciful because that's the longest recorded life we have in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, well, you didn't give me enough time to repent.
Right.
Well, he gave you the longest available time. So right. As we see these things happening, how long will he let it go? It'll go until the very, very, very point where they're actually going to do that. The guy's like this, ready to make this artificial thing. He said, nope, that's it.
That is an awesome evaluation of it, because I agree with you. You know, it's just like every time I see one of these things, like, oh, my goodness. You know, we are close, and I really hope mm-hmm. that people will accept the Lord as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do, if you haven't yet, please do receive the gift of salvation. It's really simple. Just admit you're a sinner. Tell God that you know you've sinned and ask for forgiveness. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and rose again as full payment for your sins. Then confess with your mouth that you believe in him, let him come to you and accept him as your Lord and personal Savior. Now, if you'll just pray a prayer like that, and then you would like to let the world know about it, just take a moment and email us at office@lastchristian.net. We'd love to celebrate your salvation with you. We'll also provide you with a link where you'll be able to study the Bible in easy to understand language as our free gift to you as you begin your journey as a new creation. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. We hope to see you next time if we're still around. Remember to say that prayer, and if the rapture happens, you can go with us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for spending this hour with The Last Christian. If this broadcast strengthens your faith and cuts through the noise with biblical truth, please help us keep it on the air. Your support, large or small, makes a real difference. Give today at lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. We're back on the air every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, with another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Set a reminder, tell a friend, and grow with us in God's Word as we stand with Israel, contend for truth, and point people to Jesus. Stay connected, pray for this ministry, and partner with us at lastchristian.net. From all of us here, thank you for listening and for standing with us. We'll meet you right back here tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, on www.revelationradio.net.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.